your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond.
Welcome back to Alchemy. Joining me today, Tracy Ryan, co-founder and CMO of Encore Biotherapeutics and founder of Saving Sophie and CannaKids. Tracy, it's awesome to have you on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, me too, Trace. So, you know, you and I have spent some time together out in California and became fast friends. And, you know, I'm really enamored with your story and everything you're doing. And, you know, for everyone who's listening in today, you know, Tracy is an incredible entrepreneur who's, you know, really spent, you know, the last 7 years or so navigating pediatric cancer on behalf of her daughter, Sophie. She's a major cancer advocate. She's a research associate to Dr. Jewett in the field of cannabinoid therapy and pediatric and adult patients. And Tracy's just really doing some incredible work and, you know, wanted to have you on the show today to talk a little bit more about it. So I think, you know, Tracy, just to kick us off, you know, since, you know, your daughter's diagnosis in, 2013?
Yeah, when she was 8.5 months old.
Yes, she was, you know, so young, you know, you've heroically really dedicated a huge part of your life, you know, educating yourself on the medicinal powers of medical cannabis. So maybe we can start off on really, you know, talking about your journey into the cannabis space, both professionally and personally.
Yeah, I will try my very best to make a very long story as short as possible. So as you mentioned, my daughter was diagnosed when she was a baby. It was at 8.5 months old. And we got very lucky because within a few, I'd say within 2 weeks of diagnosis, we were connected to the former talk show star and movie star, Ricky Lake. Mm-hmm. Ricky Lake and her business partner, Abby Epstein, had just begun producing a documentary 6 months prior about using medical cannabis for pediatric cancer. And we were connected through a mutual friend. These women brought me this incredible research that had been going on about using cannabis in gliomas in mice and what the results were. They gave me the results of a pediatric patient that had used it with a brain tumor with great success. And then a lot of other articles to support the benefits of cannabis and the lack of negative side effects. Mm-hmm. So we took a really hard look at this very quickly because we were in that state of why us? Why is this happening to us? We don't understand. You know, I was so healthy when I was eating. I'm a healthy person as a whole. Sophie never even had a cold. How did she get this brain tumor as a baby? We just couldn't wrap our heads around it.
Hey, Tracy, a question for you. And just kind of jogged my memory for a second. But when this was all happening, were you like, did you consume any cannabis products at that time or were you new to this or like?
No, at that time I wasn't because I just had a baby. Right. Now, when I met my husband, I was a regular cannabis user. I loved using it for creativity. Right. I've been an artist and a singer and a dancer my whole life. And it just made me so creative. It was never like really a party drug for me. It was something that I did with friends where we'd hang out, we'd play guitar, we'd sing songs and stuff like that. So I always loved cannabis. And it made me a lot smarter. So I didn't have the same stereotypical ideas around the plant. However, my husband did. Yeah. And when we started dating, he told me, he was like, you're going to have to stop smoking this stuff because it's a gateway drug and you're going to end up becoming an addict. I was like, oh my God, he didn't. But I was so into him and really wanted to be with him. So I stopped smoking the whole time that we were together, only for it to then been brought back into our lives when our kid was sick. And at first we heard about cannabis from a friend overseas and we thought he was honestly smoking too much of it. We thought it was ridiculous. Right. We were like, there's no way we're going to give an 8 month old baby weed. Right, and then we started really digging into the science and we're like, my God, the research is here. Why have we not heard about this? Why is this information being stifled from us? So we went down that rabbit hole very quickly and Sophie's doctors approved it. They said, we don't see any harm in you using this plant. We've looked into it. You have our approval. Mm-hmm. And at 9 months old, Sophie took her first dose of cannabis on camera in the film.
What was the, how did you administer it? Like, was it a tincture or drops or what?
It, It was the thick black FICO oil at the time, the really thick tarry oil. We now use tinctures on her because it's so much easier to administer. But, you know, this was almost 8 years ago now. And then people didn't have tinctures. There weren't medical products on the market that you could just go down the street and buy a really good bottle of medicine that had been lab tested. Like, it just didn't exist. And we were using this oil that this couple was making in their home, and they were using to treat other cancer patients with. Sophie was their first pediatric patient. So we started her out with a very, very, very tiny little drop of a dose, little pinpoint of a dose, and we put it on our pacifier, and she would eat it off her pacifier. And that's how she got started. And that was the beginning of the filming of the movie Weed the People, which is now on Netflix and has been on Netflix since 2018 and is an award-winning, groundbreaking film, in my opinion. It's really, really quality content that shows five different families that use cannabis for pediatric cancer in their children with incredible successes, shows the history of the plant, and also shows all the propaganda around the plant and why it was ever put on Schedule One in the first place, because this plant has been used for thousands of years as medicine prior to the 30s. Yeah. So it's pretty powerful. And that film led us to a very large community of cannabis consumers. And even prior to that, I had started a secret group called Canna Kids on Facebook that started to grow exponentially. You had to know somebody just to get in. And we ended up having several thousand people in there.
Wow.
And I just saw what it was doing for all these children and adults. And it wasn't just cancer. It was autism, epilepsy, PTSD and war vets, Crohn disease, fibromyalgia, MS, acute pain. I mean, the list of issues that this plant can be beneficial for is extensive. And that's what then led us to start Canna Kids a little over 7 years ago, which was a tincture company. We started with a focus on children because that's my passion has always been to help kids, even since I was younger. Mm-hmm. I've dedicated a lot of my life to service to children, whether it be through my graphic design agency that I owned out here in LA before Canna Kids. I would donate all kinds of graphic work to big charities and events and galas. I do fundraisers when I lived in Florida. I grew up in Tennessee, but lived to Florida and then came to California. I do big fundraisers there for children in need, autistic schools that didn't have enough funding. And I just wanted to help kids. So we started this after we started seeing all these incredible benefits in Sophie that immunologically we couldn't explain, and her tumor was shrinking in ways that even her doctors couldn't explain. So it was through that that we also then began to attract all these adults as well. So we ended up working with thousands of patients all over California and hundreds of thousands around the world. And that's what then led me to my research.
Yeah. So Tracy, let's just, because I want to get to the research, and I also want to talk a little bit more about NCORE. But let's just take a step back for a second, because, you know, you dropped a big bomb there a few seconds. you know, you mentioned that your story was featured in the Netflix documentary, Weed the People.
Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. I think that's a big one, just because, you know, here you are sharing your story with the world, you know, and it'd be helpful to hear from you. Like, talk to me about the importance of, you know, education in cannabis and how content really helps drive the awareness out there of, you know, how it could beneficially impact people who might have a medical condition.
Absolutely. From an educational standpoint, it has been one of the things that we have focused most intently on. And the documentary was a great launch pad for that. It gave us the ability to, you know, open up our story to people like National Geographic, who did another documentary on us and has continued to follow us for 7 years and is still following us today. They're going to be back here in 3 weeks to cover Sophie's trial, which I'm sure we'll talk about here in a minute. We've been on every major news network you can imagine, from CNN to Fox to you name it. Mm-hmm. The Today Show, our family has been featured on, Good Morning America, Huffington Post, Forbes magazine has done multiple pieces on us. High Times continues to do, we're actually in their magazine this month in their scientific issue. And I was one of High Times' top 50 women in cannabis the year before COVID hit. And it was through all of these platforms and speaking globally. I traditionally do about 55 speaking engagements a year post-COVID. Mm-hmm. It's that education component that has really helped us change internationally how people are looking at this plant for pediatrics specifically. because we're one of those like average, you know, families that look like the couple next door. We don't emulate that typical stereotype that people are so used to being, you know, that cannabis being attached to. We just look like a normal mom and dad with this beautiful little girl who's suffering. And so we were able to get people to really listen to us. And it's been through this advocacy platform that we've created and through these talks that we give and these interviews that we do that have created these shifts in perception that have been so extremely powerful. And we've even watched it happen in Sophie's own hospital, Children's Hospital LA. We were treating so many patients there that many of the doctors started to really start watching and following these children. And it's incredible now that when you go into the hospital and you tell the doctors and nurses that you're on cannabis or your child's on cannabis, they're like, oh, okay, great. And when Sophie had her seizures mapped before she had a brain surgery earlier this year, they had to wean her really quickly off of her seizure medication in order to induce seizures so they could know exactly what point of the brain they were coming from so they could remove that part of the brain to cure her seizures when she was having surgery on the disease. We were going to go in there and just do it all at once since we had to be in there anyway. And the doctor came into her room and said, you know, Miss Ryan, because your daughter's on CBD and because we know who your family is and we know how good you guys are at dosing and understanding this plant, we're actually going to expedite Sophie's wean on the Keppra because we know the CBD will protect her. And this was the head of the neurology department at one of the top five children's hospitals in the country. And these people had heard of us. They knew of our work. They knew of our patients because they'd worked so closely with so many of them and had seen how well it was helping these kids, especially with seizures. Mm-hmm. So it's been profound, honestly. And it's still the one part that we're truly missing more of. We need a lot more education because there's still a lot of minds that need to be changed. And clearly a lot of politicians need to get it together.
Yeah, without a doubt. So, well, for one, how is Sophie today?
She's doing amazing. Her tumor did start growing again after 2 years of stabilization. This is what her type of tumor does. It's a grade one optic pathway glioma. It's unlike a stage 2, 3, and 4 that can metastasize and spread throughout the body. It's also unlike a 2, 3, and 4 where chemotherapy never gets rid of it. So these tumors, they divide very slowly. They don't spread throughout the body. They stay in the brain. And what we've discovered in our research at UCLA on Sophie over the last 3 years is that Sophie has zero natural killer cells in her brain, which is your number one defense mechanism against cancer. It's when these cells break, that's your first step in getting the disease. If you have a functioning NK cell system or natural killer cell system, you can't get cancer. Sophie has none of these cells in her brain, although from the neck down, her NK cell function works 5 times better than any healthy adult my research scientist has studied in 30 years of cancer research. Because of her cannabis use, and we have proven that through our science. So she's healthy as a horse. I mean, the kid never gets a cold. She's got tons of energy. She's got, you know, hair almost down to her butt. It's so thick and long. And she's so healthy. But she still has this tumor that keeps growing despite the fact that she's been on 7 years of chemo. She has no residual effects from the chemotherapy. She does have a disability on her left side right now, from where a cyst grew deep in her brain, which is why we had to do the surgery earlier this year, mm-hmm. which is when we, you know, cured her seizures by removing that part of the brain. So she is doing physical therapy to work through those disabilities. And we absolutely believe she's going to get 100% of her function back. And she is visually compromised from the tumor. She can't see anything. It was unfortunately 2 brain surgeries that really cost her vision because we had shrank the tumor so many times and had reduced so much inflammation in her brain that even though they said that she was going to be 100% blind when she was a baby, we preserved all of that vision up until she was 6 years old and had a brain surgery. And then the swelling from that surgery caused her to lose much of her vision. We started to get some of it back. And then this last surgery took a lot of it again. But she's now starting to get color perception back. But the tumor did start growing again. So we are now, we've now have her enrolled in her own human study. This study is not available anywhere else in the world. It's being done here in Los Angeles at the Seroff Research Institute. Dr. Musican is the medical director there, and Dr. Serhat is one of the leading groundbreaking scientists in the field of natural killer cells. Is also collaborating with my partner, Dr. Jewett. And he and Dr. Musican have these incredible therapeutics that has been administered to patients throughout the years that have been eradicating glioblastoma and DIPG, which are the most deadly brain cancers in the world. Their most recent patient just got his 24-month scan with GBM, and he had the most aggressive form of it. And he's still 2 years later, completely cancer free. His wife was pregnant and he wasn't going to be able to see his baby be born because there was no options for him to keep him alive.
So Tracy, can you explain quickly what exactly is a natural killer cell?
So your natural killer cells are part of what's called your innate immune system. Your innate immune system it helps kill off any viruses or disease that enters your body and helps regulate immune and organ function. Okay. So imagine your natural killer cells is this tiny marching army. And not only do they have this really big role in just regulating your overall function and homeostasis, but they have these little like crystal type things they deploy from their cells, these little nodules that they shoot out from their cells that destroy anything foreign in the body that isn't supposed to be there, like a cancer cell. Mm. So we all have cancer cells, cancer stem cells in our body, which are the core seed to cancer from which cancer gives rise. It grows from these stem cells. Or NK cells, when they see these cancer stem cells start to act up, they just shoot them down and kill them. And they're never able to mutate into actual cancer that forms and grows in our body. When those cells break, that's when you get cancer. They also have a big role in autoimmune disease and infectious diseases.
What if you were able to get like natural killer cells put into your body? Like, is that possible?
That's what we're doing. Yes, absolutely. That's 100% possible. They are already doing natural killer cell infusions around the world. But unfortunately, most of the companies that are doing it are using what's called autologous cells. And these are cells from the patient's own body. They're taking the patient's natural killer cells out, they're spinning them, and then they're putting them back into the patient. But those cells are already broken. So these are not curative in nature. We have what's called supercharged natural killer cells, which is Dr. Jewett's field of study. She's the world leader in that field globally. She discovered and built the field over the last 30 years. And it is our supercharged natural killer cells that we are going to be working towards bringing to market. And those cells are taken from healthy adults. And it's called allogeneic cells. And these cells are already normally functioning cells that we supercharge, and then we turn them into an infusion. And it's an infusion therapy that is then given to patients. It's not available yet. Still has to go through FDA trials, but we've already studied them in over 500 humanized mice. And the results are absolutely groundbreaking. It's a very exciting field to be a part of.
Unbelievable. And so the killer cells themselves, where exactly do they come from? Like, would they be from like, you know, I know they extract bone marrow, the cells from bone marrow generally when it comes to cancer treatments. Where are they from?
From the blood. So you just have to give a blood draw. And we'll be working towards having blood banks all across America where patients can go in. And typically, believe it or not, it's healthy male adults that have the strongest subset of natural killer cells, not females. And those are the most desired cells. So we'll harvest these cells just like people donate blood for patients. They donate platelets for patients. These people will donate NK cells for patients. And that is how we will get our human cells that we then will run through a manufacturing process to supercharge and turn into a medicine. It's called a therapeutic because it's a cell therapy from the human body. If we weren't changing the cell structure of these cells, we would not have to go through FDA approval. Sophie's study that she's about to do does not have to go through FDA approval. It gets what's called an IRB or an internal review board approval. It's a much, much, much simpler process because Sophie's going to be getting my husband's activated natural killer cells, not supercharged. So it's a different process, but still a very effective procedure.
Amazing. So let's talk a little bit as far as what you're doing with NCORE.
Absolutely. Well, what led me to the research that we're doing currently, or that Dr. Jewett's been doing, honestly, for 30 years prior to me even coming into the scene, was through studying Sophie initially. And with pediatric cancer, there's only been 4 new drugs brought to market in 40 years for kids. Everything else is a secondary adult study, hand-me-down drug where they use our kids as guinea pigs. And there's only 3.8% of all government funding that goes to pediatric cancer in the United States. Crazy. So these children are just really a forgotten subset. So I was desperate. My kid's gone through 7 years of chemotherapy and I was just done. There's no good options really left for her. I wanted to do my own research. I initially started working with Dr. Dedi Miri in Israel at the Technion Institute. Mm-hmm. I raised money for his research that was going on there, several million dollars. He was unfortunately unable to recreate Sophie's brain tumor because they didn't have live tissue for him. But he still has continued to make groundbreaking discoveries in cannabis for cancer. And he's also in our documentary on Netflix. Mm-hmm. That then led me to Dr. Anahi Jewett when Sophie needed a brain surgery, not this past one that was in February, but was in 2018. And I knew that if I could get her live tissue, I wanted to get it into humanized mice so that we could start studying it and really start understanding what type of therapeutics could potentially work for Sophie since Western medicine was failing us time and time again. It was when Dr. Jewett looked at Sophie's blood that she was like, oh my gosh, I don't know what's happening here. Your child's immune system is, you know, working 500 times better than any healthy adult. She's a child. Her immune system should be immature. She's on 4 chemotherapies. Her immune system should be taxed and she has a brain tumor. So they should be broken, but they weren't, which then later led us to discover that in Sophie's brain fluid, she had no natural killer cells, as I'd mentioned earlier.
Right.
We then studied 17 of CannaKids patients that were consuming our oil. And we found across the board that these patients had broken cells initially, and the cannabis was helping to turn those back on so that they could fight their disease. We studied children, we studied young adults, we studied the elderly, and we studied patients in basically in all varying stages of disease. Some had never had cannabis, some was on cannabis, and then some were terminal off cannabis and still alive, despite the doctors couldn't describe it. They didn't understand it. And what we learned in our first in human trials, again, studying the blood of patients consuming cannabis, and then how we reverse engineered that into humanized mice, we realized that the cannabis was turning the natural killer cell system back on, which just happened to be Dr. Jewett's field of research, and she's the world leader in it. Coincidence? I think not. So that is what then led me to wanting to really partner with Dr. Jewett, because I started listening to all of her lectures. I was bringing investors into her, trying to get her research funded. I was listening to these lectures and these results that she had in cancer. And I was just dumbfounded at how incredibly important this therapeutic and these cells are to the body. And the correlation between cannabis was just so unique. Dr. Jewett had never seen anything natural turn on the natural killer cell system like cannabinoids. So we've continued to do the cannabinoid research. We've patented some incredible findings. We've submitted to a top-tier cannabis journal that we hope to be accepted to very soon, showing that NK cells are turning the natural killer cell system back on. But we're also finding that they're attacking and killing cancer stem cells, which chemo and radiation can't even see. So some very important findings that we're waiting for the medical journals to accept. And then, you know, that's hopefully going to eventually lead us to a therapeutic that's cannabinoid-inspired, a molecular medicine that turns on the endocannabinoid system, much like what we have found THC to do. And THC is so, so, so important. And we've discovered that by using a molecule that acts against the cannabinoid receptors like THC does, that we were able to use without a Schedule I license. It's very hard to do research because cannabis is a Schedule I. And so we're combining all these understandings between cannabis and natural killer cell therapies and these probiotics that Dr. Jewett has created in her lab that are also showing incredible promise and that are potentiating the effects and making the cannabis work better and making the natural killer cells work better. And our goal is to bring non-toxic therapies to patients who are extremely sick so that we receive these patients, we treat them, and we send them back to their families healthier than what we got them in, not toxifying their bodies and causing long-term side effects from these toxic agents that are continually pumped into cancer patients today.
Yeah. So, you know, one thing that I was thinking of is obviously, you know, we've, you know, outside of even, you know, therapy and children, have been dealing with stigma with cannabis for many years, and now a veil is lifting, right?
Absolutely.
But, you know, when you're kind of going through these therapies and Sophie is trying cannabis and, you know, what is the reaction that you get from people? Like, you're giving what to your kid? Like, what has been the response, good and bad?
You would be so surprised because everybody immediately assumes that I have just gotten railroaded by people, that I've been put down and I've been shamed and that I've just had to go through all these hurdles. And it's actually been the opposite with me, which is shocking. You know, again, I just truly believe we're on a very guided path here. And I believe my family was put on this planet to help and to serve and to bring better options to the world. And I think that we've been afforded a lot of luxuries because of that. And the support that we've seen from the community at large is one of them. I can count all the times we've had a negative comment on social media over the last 7 years on less than two hands, like a hand and a half. And it was people that I knew that were just, they were just not very nice people. Honestly, they were just those kind of people that like to troll other people because they were just, you know, not really happy with what was going on with themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's surprisingly been the most incredible journey when it comes to not only my hometown supporting me, which is a very conservative town in the middle of Tennessee. I'm in LA now. So, you know, people here are much more progressive and understanding and open to cannabis because it's been here so long and it's been used for so long. But I was terrified of what my own community would think. And they all are super pro cannabis advocates now and have completely embraced our family since day one. I think it did help that we established ourselves on social, specifically on Sophie's page, Prayers for Sophie, on Facebook and on Instagram, as these really loving parents that were really fighting for their child. And I really don't think that it hurt that we, when we announced what we were doing, that it was a Ricky Lake documentary that was, you know, supporting this and was behind us. And there was all this research that we had done and all these papers that we were posting. And it just started opening all these conversations and all these eyes and all these hearts and minds. And I haven't had pushback. I haven't had pushback from her doctors. I haven't had anybody ever tell me, if you don't, you know, stop giving your child this medicine, we're going to kick her out of our clinical program here. And she's not gonna be able to get, you know, medicine from the hospital. We've never had to deal with any of that. And I know that many people have. I know that CPS has been a problem for people as well, because I've helped defend those people. I've found doctors to testify for those families. And it's just been, it's been a really beautiful, supportive journey.
I love it. Well, that's good to hear. And, you know, I would say, Tracy, I'm so glad that I met you, just because, you know, you have this incredible energy and, you know, you really are doing such great things. And, you know, I think, you know, kids who are going through this with parents who are freaking out, like, at least they have someone that they could turn to, and talk to you. And also some of the trials that you guys were doing, I think will really, you know, provide a path for the future, which is great. So
absolutely.
I know how much blood, sweat, and tears, and a lot of tears you've been through. And, you know, it's not easy. So I commend you. And,
thank
you, know,
you.
You and your husband are really doing such amazing work. And, you know, it's very much appreciated. I hope you don't go a single day for not thinking that, you know?
Thank you. I just do want to mention one thing very quickly that I think is so extremely important when it comes to dosing a patient. I do highly recommend working with a medical professional in those situations. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pharmaceuticals that can have drug-drug interactions. You don't see people taking cannabis and other pharmaceuticals and dying from them. But for example, if you're on an opioid and you take cannabis at the same time as you take that opioid, it's going to make that opioid work a lot stronger, and you don't want that to happen. So, and it can block some epilepsy medications, and it can interact with negatively with some immunotherapies on the market. So there's a nurse that I'd love to recommend to people. Her name is Nurse Heidi, and you can do a phone call with her by going to her website, ColibriCanna.com, and going to the services page and booking a call. And that is spelled ColibriS, Calibri, it's a type of hummingbird, and then Canna, CANNA.com. Again, that's on the services page, and you can book a paid consult with her. It's not very expensive at all, and she will help you with dosing and product selection. And I just absolutely believe it's so important to have these kinds of nurses out there that are guiding patients who understand both sides of the field, both Western medicine and cannabis, and the potential for interactions and the potential for benefit.
Without a doubt. I'm sure there's a whole bunch of people that are listening. Obviously, we have such a huge fan base all in the cannabis spectrum. So hopefully that will get to good use. And, you know, Tracy, I know you've listened to the show before. So, you know, we always talk about, you know, work and whatnot in the beginning, but we kind of end the show with some quick fire questions that are really geared towards our guests. So are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm excited.
Okay. So first question, what did you want to be when you were a young girl?
Oh gosh, that's an easy one. I wanted so desperately bad to be an astronaut. I begged my parents to send me to space camp in Alabama, and they didn't, and I'll never forgive them for it. I went on to fly airplanes, Cessna 152s in college, because I originally wanted to get into the fighter program to be an astronaut until I realized how long I was going to have to be in the military to get there. But my claim to fame is I do have a friend that's an astronaut who was the space shuttle commander of Endeavor
no
and
way.
The International Space Station commander. And his name's Terry Virts, and we and I am hell-bent on having our therapeutics be on the first mission to Mars. So whereas I didn't get to become an astronaut, I do hope to one day fly in space now that they're taking human beings, and I do hope to have our medicine in space to help the astronauts on their journey.
Wow. Okay, what's your favorite cannabis product?
Oh, I absolutely love Kiva products. They should pay me to be their ambassador, I swear.
After spending about 4 days with you straight, I knew that was what you were going to say.
I love their Kiva Caminos. And I love, I take cannabis every single day of my life because of how greatly it benefits my immune function. I've had my natural killer cells tested. My natural killer cells function 3x that of any healthy adult. And so I consume them every day. Once I put my daughter down, I microdose. And I love the Camino gummies. They've got one that has 5 milligrams of THC and 1 milligram of CBN. That's the blueberry. It's in a blue tin.
Oh, I have those.
That one's so good. And then they have a lemonade and they have a wild berry. And those both are more indica. And I love those so much for nighttime. And then I also am obsessed with their sea salt caramels and their chocolate covered blueberries.
Yeah, those are good too. You know what I had recently from Kiva that was actually great?
What's that?
They have, it's a green one. They're called Social. Uh-huh. And they are very low dosage. They're like maybe two, not even, no, I think they're like 2 milligrams of THC and like 4 milligrams of CBD.
Oh, okay.
And I had never seen those before, but I actually, you know, when I'm with friends and everything, I tend to not like, I don't know, I get a little anxious if it's too high THC. And this was like, it's totally like you just had one drink and you could have a few of them, you know? So I really like those a lot. I just recently tried them.
Yeah, I've seen that one. I've been wanting to try it. CBD acts weird in my body for some reason.
Oh, really?
Yeah. CBN especially, like if I take 4 or 5 milligrams of CBN, I feel really weird. But it doesn't do that to most people. I've always been more of a THC person.
CBN makes me a little sleepy.
Yeah, it's supposed to do that. That's what it's great for. It's amazing for that. That's why I like the 5 milligrams of THC and the 1 milligram of CBN. It really quietens the noise from my brain. It allows me to decompress. I mean, there's a reason why my family, although we've been through 8 years of this, you know, pediatric cancer situation that we've been having to deal with, we're one of the happiest families you'll ever meet because it allows us to just kind of leave everything in the rear view. That's why it works so well for PTSD patients and war vets. You don't have the bad dreams and you're not constantly thinking the bad thoughts. It really helps mitigate a lot of that. And I always joke that I'm going to write a book one day called How Cannabis Saved My Child, .. and my marriage, because it just allows me and my husband to be so happy together. And it really allows us to communicate more clearly and just be at peace more.
Totally. All right. So last question.
Okay.
And I'm really curious in what your answer here, because I could already tell from meeting you last time in California, you're a very daring person. So what's the most daring thing you've ever done?
Oh my gosh. So I love jumping out of airplanes. I'm such an adrenaline junkie. I actually at one point when I was much younger, when I was living in Florida, I was running the biggest nightclub in the country. I was a DJ back in, you know, my cooler days. And I was wanting to open a drop zone so that I could just jump out of planes whenever I wanted. I'm also, you know, like I said, a total adrenaline junkie. So the second time I ever went skiing, I went down a black diamond because I was, you know, naturally kind of good at skiing. I was doing the short skis. And I've also, I was a rollerblade trick skater in college and skated half pipes and did trick skating in the streets of Nashville.
Oh my God.
So yeah, I was, you know, I've done a few crazy wild things in my days. Lots of fun, lots of daring things. I just, you know, you get one life and I like to live it.
I love it. That's a great motto on our break. So Tracy Ryan, always a pleasure. Such a great story. You're doing such great work. And of course, my prayers always for your daughter and, you know, keep up the fight and, you know, keep up all these amazing things that you're doing because it really is going to benefit everybody.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm so, so, so happy to have you in my corner.
Awesome. Thanks, Tracy.
Thank you.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.